brought me from to where I am today. You know the reason why I love him so. You can take this world, its riches. I don't need no earthly pain. It's my desire to be like him. Oh, it's my desire to be like. This evening, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you'd know the reason why I love him so. Now you can take this world, its riches. I don't need no earthly vein. It's my desire to be like him. In prisoner's chains, there chains were loosed, and they were free. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you been there. Sing it to him this evening. Oh Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You Yes, you're the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening.
He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad, yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Oh, I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh,
why don't you greet one another this evening? Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening, isn't it? We have every reason in the world to be glad. Amen. Have an announcement here for the Labor Day pitch-in for that Saturday. The Labor Day pitch-in meal will be at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church gym on Saturday, the 31st of August. We will have the gym from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and food will be served at noon. The church will be providing tea, lemonade, and water, along with smoked bone-in chicken, not fried. And as far as for the ladies that are making sides, the metal, is it chafing pans that we provided last time will be available downstairs in the kitchen area starting Sunday, and they'll also be there Wednesday evening. So if you want to bring your sides in that, it'll make it easier for you all and easier for cleanup. So feel free to take some of those. So we're looking forward to that. The attendees are encouraged to bring a side of their choice and or a dessert. Sister Christy will send out a link to an electronic sign-up sheet so that people can see what others are bringing. If you can't access the sheet or have any questions, please see Sister Christy Heron-Bassick or Sister Jennifer Soderquist. We will have the normal indoor activities, basketball, as well as outdoor activities, cornhole, volleyball, etc. We ask that no skates, scooters, or bikes be used in the gym. And that's from the Brother Stephen. And so looking forward to the meetings and also that time of fellowship. God bless you. A couple of testimonies here tonight. Testimony from Sister Estera. What a mighty God we serve. I went to my kidney doctor on Monday to talk about blood work he had ordered, and he gave me the greatest report. My blood work is fine, and there is no disease with the kidney. Praising God for all he has done for me, and thank you to the ones that kept me in their prayers. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And Sister Sarah Houchin has a praise report as well. from the prayer request that she had put in last week for the lady that she works with. They had to do emergency surgery on her neck and put cement in her back, but she is home doing well, and they told her that she will have full recovery and be back to work after Labor Day. She said, thank you for all of your prayers. Amen. Isn't God good? Can we give him a hand clap of praise this evening? Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate those testimonies. That's encouraging. As we go to prayer, Brother Bill Warren's wife has passed away, so please remember the family in prayer. And a prayer request here for Sister Layton. She has a sinus infection, so I want to remember that. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand? Brother Hoover, would you come and take these requests before the Lord? Sure is good to be here tonight. Amen.
Good evening. Just before we pray, just want to give a quick testimony. The adversary's been beating me up all week, bombarding me with thoughts of unworthiness. And except for the blood, I am unworthy. But I just stepped inside the sanctuary this evening before service and bowed my head. Told the Lord that I knew I was unworthy, but I have a desire that he gave me down inside that I want to serve him. And then in just a few moments, Sister Stephanie goes to the piano and begins to play It's My Desire. I'm glad that we had a desire to come to church tonight. I'm glad that desire is not something that I worked up, something that some man talked me into, but it's a desire from God himself that he put down in my soul. I trust that you have that same desire tonight. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for that desire, Lord. Lord, we didn't give it to ourselves. We didn't come up with it, Lord, by just some teaching or some doctrine, but it's from you, Lord, and it's according to your word. Now we come to you, Lord. We're your children. We're the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you said that we could come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy. We could make our petitions known, and so we do tonight, Lord. For the Warren family, Lord, that lost a loved one, Lord, we ask that you would be with them and comfort them and guide them in this time. Lord, for all the prayer requests, Lord, I don't remember everyone, but I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would go down on each heart, each hand that was raised, Lord. And Lord, you know better than I do. You know exactly what each soul needs tonight. And Father, we believe that you're here to provide that need. We pray for Sister Patty tonight, Lord. We ask that you would move in her heart, her life, her body, Lord. Lord, make that healing real, Lord. Make it manifest in her body. We believe, Lord, your stripes are still effective tonight. Lord, you've not lost any power. Your blood's not lost any power. We call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for each of these needs. We thank you for each prayer or praise report. We thank you that you've proven once again this week, Lord, that you hear and you answer our prayers. We give you praise and glory and honor. We bring you now, Lord, this service. We invite your presence in. We know that you're already here. But, Lord, we just want to make sure that we welcome you and that, Lord, we're gathered in your name and your spirit. And we ask that you would just take the minister now, make him a flame of fire in this pulpit. Speak to our needs, Lord. Speak to our life. Lord, correct us where we need correcting. Encourage us where we need encouraging. Lord, if there's anyone here that's outside of your blood tonight, we pray that they would come and make themselves, Lord, under that blood. If there's anyone here that needs the Holy Spirit, we pray you would pour your Holy Spirit out tonight. Lord, if there's anyone that hasn't obeyed you in Christian baptism, we pray that you would convict their heart tonight and they would want to be buried in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things, Lord, not that we could point to numbers or not that we could say, look what happened, look what we did. But Lord, just that we can give you the glory and the praise. For you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. If Brother Arnie and Sister Alice would prepare for their special at this time. Come on, brother. Thankful to have each one of you here. I'd like to welcome our visitors and each one. Lord, God bless you. It's an honor to have you here.
Praise the Lord.
Let me share real quickly a little moment that I had today. I was listening to Brother Branham, and he was relating that vision that he had, the preview of the bride. And he said, I heard a voice beside me, and the voice said, this is a preview of the bride. And here she come. Brother Branham said, here she come. Lovely, beautiful, and young. I mean, what more could a lady want, I guess, right? Some of us will have to wait a while for that, but it's on the way, praise the Lord. But, and then he said, not a march. He said she was just in step, but he said it was not a march, like, you know, hop, two, three, four. It wasn't military, it was a love affair. See, and I'm glad that he pointed that out. And I thought if Brother Branham got that excited, or enthused, I should say, if he got that enthused about just a preview of the bride, what must the Lord think about being with her in a service like this when he's seeing us up close and in high definition and live and in color and the whole works? So, Brother Hoover, the devil told you the truth. You are unworthy. We're all unworthy. But there's a song that says, unworthy, but he made me worthy. And now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. So the devil can tell the truth, but he was probably saying it with a false intent, which makes it even bigger lie. But anyway, if the devil's after you, that means he hadn't caught you yet. I don't think he's going to catch us either. So I'm really glad that I'm part of the bride of Christ. And he chose us. We didn't choose him. Nobody can take any credit for it. But the Lord wanted me to remind you that this is a love affair. It's not, the bride wasn't in a legalistic, denominational march. Brother Branham said she was walking in just in the stride of a woman. Graceful and ladylike. Amen. And I don't mind being referred to as a bride. I don't mind being the feminine part of God, because he is our masculinity. Amen. And he makes up for our shortcomings or our weaknesses. He makes up. He stands in the gap for us. Amen. So we love him tonight because he first loved us. Amen. And this song is a golden oldie, but I never get tired of hearing it, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Amen.
Spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't plant or sow.
He really cares when your head
This is the flowers each morning with dew.
Yet he's not too busy to care about you.
We have a heavenly Father above.
Bless you. Sure appreciate that. Amen. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 398 in your handbook if you don't know it. You glad he paid a debt for you this evening?
He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt. I could not pay. Well, I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and he set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Yes, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and he set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And one day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. The move is on, my Lord, the move.
Sing it this way. Oh, won't you move a little, brother? Oh, move on, sister. This is the moving day. Oh, won't you move a little closer? Where the streams are flowing, move on, brother, move on. Somebody requested we sing this song tonight, so amen. You pray for me while I try to sing it. Help me sing it if you know it.
He's in the midst of our storms. He's in the valley we walk through. Oh, where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there. So when you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now, our Lord. He's in the midst. Oh, as you travel down life's road, He is with you every day. With every step you take, He's walked ahead of you. And every night as you lay down, angels are camping all around. Oh, you'll never be alone, for He is in our midst.
Do you believe that tonight?
Oh, He's in the midst of our storm. Oh, He's in the valley you walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. So when you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now, our Lord. He's in the midst. Into the prison they were thrown. Paul and Silas weren't alone. Oh, they knew their God was there, and He would see them. So when those walls began to shake, oh, all their chains just fell away. They cried, "Behold our God, for He is in our midst." Oh, He's in the midst of your storm. Oh, He's in the valleys you walk through. And where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. So when you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now, our Lord. into that prison they were thrown. But Paul and Silas, they weren't alone. Oh, they knew their God was there, and He would see them through. So when the walls began to shake, oh, all their chains just fell away. Oh, they cried, "Behold our God, for He is in our midst." Why don't we stand and sing it together? He's in the midst of our storm. Oh, He's in the valleys you walk through. And where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. So when you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now. Oh, our Lord, He's in the midst. One more time together. Oh, He's in the midst of our storm. Oh, He's in the valley you walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. So when you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now, our Lord. He's with us now. Oh, He's with us now. Our Lord, He's in the midst. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. You love Him tonight? Amen. Well, the Lord's already working on both ends of the line tonight, so we certainly appreciate that. Something that I'm going to be ministering on tonight, Brother Arnie and Sister Alice have already sang about it, so that's wonderful. And then Brother Arnie also made a statement there when he was talking before the special. He said, "We didn't choose him, but he chose us." And I was just talking to a brother this week back and forth trying to encourage him over text message, and we had a similar conversation to that. So, amen. I believe God works on both ends of the line, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. And we read this recently here at the church when we had our parents' meeting a few weeks ago. And we may go down the line of some of the things that was said in the parents' meeting, but this is just kind of the way the Lord led me for tonight. I told Brother Hoover it might be a little different than we're used to, just as far as some of the format, but that's okay. However the Lord leads will be just right. And so we just want to yield to Him. We're still on this thought of yielding, but we want to look at this thought of train up a child as part of this yield series. And let's read this verse together. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think it'd do us good just to all of us read it together one time. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. And as we do, little Jackson had asked that we remember his granny. She needs a hip replacement surgery. That's, I guess, Tina's stepmother. And so we want to remember that situation in prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, you know all about this request, Father. Little Jackson's granny needing a hip replacement, Father. Lord, we know that you're able to touch her just now to where she wouldn't even need the replacement surgery, Lord. But if she requires it and that would be the route that you would have her to go, Father, then we just ask that you would, Lord, guide the surgeon's hands and be with her. May the surgery be a success and may she recover quickly, Father. Lord, may you take complete control of that situation. And Lord, here tonight, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come and take control of the service tonight, Lord. I don't know exactly what it'll it'll be or what direction you'll have us to go. But, Lord, we just commit it into your hands, and I ask you to help me to get myself out of the way, Lord. As Brother Hoover said, the enemy trying to speak to him today and say that he wasn't worthy. Lord, I know he comes at me all the time and says that to me. But, Lord, I thank you that we're not depending on our own worthiness. Lord, on our own righteousness. Lord, I'm so thankful that I don't have to come before you with my own righteousness, Lord, because your word tells us that, Lord, no matter how righteous we try to be in our own self-righteousness, that it's as filthy rags before you. Lord, so I'm not depending on my righteousness or my good works or my ability, but Lord, when we come before the throne of God, Lord, we're solely depending on the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sins and presents us as holy, Lord, before you. There's no other way that we could be presented as holy before you. Lord, even when Isaiah stood there in your presence, he recognized that he was a man of unclean lips and that he dwelt among men of unclean lips, Lord. But then when the coal of fire had touched him, then he was able to come and say, Lord, send me. What would you have me to do? So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the coal of fire from the altar would touch our lips again tonight, Lord, and commission us and send us forth to go do whatever it would be that you'd have us to do or say. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you tonight, and you can be seated. Brother Azariah, at some point in this service, I'm going to need some participation from the audience, and so I'm going to go ahead and give you this microphone if you don't care. So that one's a little louder, I think, than some of the others, so it'll pick up the congregation real well. So you can just be looking forward to that, and we will see how the Lord leads. Brother Branham says this in Expectation in 1954. He said, I just shook hands with a young fellow coming in there, a young boy if he's here. I don't mean to make him conspicuous. A very young fellow said, Brother Branham, I was raised up in a Christian home. He said, I'd taken the habit of smoking and I used bad words. He said, Brother Branham, I want to be right with God. Would you pray that? Can you imagine coming before a prophet of God and here you've been raised in a Christian home and he comes up to him and said, Brother Branham, I've made some bad decisions. I've made some mistakes and I picked up some bad habits. I smoke and I use bad words and I want you to pray that I'd be right with God. He said, would you pray that? He said, see, bring up a child in the way it should go. They get off amongst these children, doesn't have that kind of teaching. They wander away, but don't worry, God will bring them back. He said, I believe it. Amen. He said, they might wander away, but don't worry. God will bring them back. So to me, you know, I know this is back in 1954, 9 years before the seals. And I know he didn't say, thus saith the Lord after it. But, you know, to me, this is just as much word as the rest of it. Amen. So if you've got loved ones that are wandering or that have wandered, don't fear tonight. Don't worry. God will bring them back. Amen. He's able to bring them back. So we find that there's something that's important about training up a child and conditioning them and teaching them about the Word of God, placing the right things before their eyes, placing the right things in their ears. And, you know, the birds were singing. I'm not talking about the birds out in the trees. They were singing this morning, too, when I woke up, Sister Jeannie. But Brother Arnie and Sister Alice Bird were singing earlier tonight, and they were singing a song, We Have a Heavenly Father Above. Now, our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts unto His children. You might have got your children something this last Christmas that may have just astounded them. They may have been so happy to see, or for their birthday or whatever it was, you know, whatever your legalism will allow you to celebrate, whatever, last time you gave them a gift for something, maybe it was just for a chore they did or whatever it was. You thought, well, I can get by with that. But as I said before, don't judge my liberty by another man's conscience. So anyhow, that's another story and another sermon for another time. But maybe you gave them something, a present for their birthday or whatever it be, and maybe they thought, oh, mom, dad, whoever, this is just so perfect, and this is exactly what I wanted, this is what I'd been hoping for, and this is what I had been longing for, that I'd seen it out at the store, or one of my buddies has it, or I saw it in a magazine, and this is just exactly what I wanted. But no matter how good of gift that you could give your children, no matter how excited they would be about it, and you know, we can't can't give them the Holy Ghost. We can't save them, but God can give them those things. So no matter what type of gift that you could give, you might be able to afford a gift that would be beyond anything that I could ever imagine giving my children. That's all right if God's provided for you in that way. But no matter how good the gift that we could give, that we could impart to our children as far as a physical gift, one of these days it's going to be ash and dust and it's going to fade away. It's temporal. Is that right? Did I get it right? Yeah, I always struggle with that. Sister Lori, Brother Lauren would have been so proud of me tonight that I got that right. So it's temporal. It's something that's going to fade away. It's not of eternal value. But we have a Heavenly Father that can give good gifts unto men. He can give gifts that is not just something that's temporary, that's going to fade away, that's going to rust and corrupt and get moths will eat it up or whatever. But He can give gifts of eternal value. So I thank God that we have that type of Father tonight. Now, and we have a good example because we have a perfect Father. God, when He goes to do anything, He does it perfectly. I can admit tonight, and I hope all of you fathers out there can admit, I'm not a perfect father. I kind of expected my children to amen real loud on that one, Brother Azariah, but thank God they didn't. But I'm not a perfect father. I've made mistakes, so I don't always make the perfect decision. I haven't always disciplined my children exactly the perfect way. And then there's been other times where I should have disciplined them, Brother Yarborough, and I failed to do it because I got busy and forgot, or because I thought, well, the poor little fellers, maybe they didn't mean it that way or whatever. There's been times when I disciplined when maybe I shouldn't have, and there's been times when I haven't disciplined when maybe I should have. I'm not perfect, but I do serve a perfect Heavenly Father. So He left us a good example that we should be able to go off of as fathers and mothers to be able to train up our children. He left us a very good example as a perfect father. So when God goes to do something, it is perfect and it is exactly right. Now, as children of a Heavenly Father, we're much like children of earthly fathers. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure this is the right thing for me? Lord, are you sure that I really needed that whipping that you gave me? Lord, are you sure this is for my good? But God is a perfect Father. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make the wrong decision. He doesn't slip up and have to come around and apologize to His children for something that He said, or come around and apologize to His wife for something. Maybe He should have spanked them and He said, well, honey, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. You know, Brother Branham went through those things as well as a husband, you remember? And I thank God that He was transparent enough to talk to us about some of those things so that we could recognize that, you know, He left us a good example, but He wasn't perfect either. I know a lot of people try to make Him perfect and make Him deity, and in one way He was deity in the same way that you and I are. He had deity living down on the inside of Him, but as a husband and as a parent and as a mortal man, He could do things that He'd have to come around and apologize for, and He didn't have to tell us those things. He didn't have to share those things with us, but I thank God that He did, Brother Jimmy, so that we as parents and as husbands and as friends and as pastors and as co-workers together in the gospel, that we can recognize, hey, we need to give people a little bit of grace, including ourselves. Sometimes we need a little bit of grace ourselves. So we have a perfect Father. Now, He knows when to coach. He knows when to encourage. And He knows when to discipline. He knows when to do all that at the exact times. He knows when to correct us. And He knows when to do things. You know, and you have to wonder sometimes, Brother Trevor, I'm sure he's experienced something like this, like I did this week, that there's sometimes when you train up a child in the way they should go, and you're constantly trying to put the word into them and put the word into them and keep the word before them, that before you know it, your seven-year-old's quoting the message to you while you're trying to discipline her. And you don't know whether to say, hey, I'm impressed, and pat her on the back or spank her a little behind. You're not sure which to do. Brother Arnie said the truth with the wrong intent is still wrong, right? So... Influence 1963. Brother Ram says, your children is one of the main eyes that's watching you. They watch what you do. And whatever you do, they copy after you because you're setting the example before them to what you do. So when you do something, then you turn around and tell your children that. Now, don't do this like mommy and daddy. You know, like the Bernstein Bears, Papa Bear was always doing the wrong thing, you know, and he was always, whatever they were trying to set the rule for the kids not to do, he was always getting in trouble and doing it and all that. But that's not how we lead. We don't lead by, don't do what I do, but we lead by example. That we should, you know, if you tell your children, well, you shouldn't watch this kind of movie, or you shouldn't go to this kind of place, and then they get up like some parents around the message as children have done. They get up to the age of 18 or 20 and they look around and realize, hey, all the things that mommy and daddy was telling us not to do, they were sneaking around and doing them when we weren't looking. So we want to set an example before our children of a life that should be lived that's worthy of the gospel. He said, whatever you do, they copy after you. Now you notice generation after generation it would go down, and he would say, look back at those, you know, the flappers back in the early 20s and 30s, and then that became the burlesque. And then the burlesque became the striptease, and on down it went. And we find, you know, the things that you see today on the news ain't even worth reading because of the perversion that goes on. But what was it? It's because somebody let down the bars generations before. Amen. We could have been way back there like it was in the 20s and 30s. Hey, it wasn't the millennium, but it was a lot better than it is now. But somebody let down the bars. And when they let down the bars, then the next generation began to get weaker and wiser. And they let down the bars more. Well, mommy and daddy did it this way, so we're going to go out even more and do even more. And my, they thought they were something. And then on down it came, perversion upon perversion. And it began to get worse and worse and worse. And we look around at the insanity that we live in today. And we wonder, how did it get here like this? But it didn't happen overnight. Nobody just turned on a switch in the 1930s and said, hey, we're going to go from the Model T Fords and some of the songs they had back there in the jazz age, and we're going to get into some of the stuff we have now. It was a slow progression that from generation to generation, it got worse and worse and worse. And if you don't want your children to turn out worse than you were, then you need to set an example before them of what godly parents should be and how godly children should live, and set that standard not just in word. You remember the Pharisees were amazed at Jesus because he was a man that was not only mighty in word. They'd had plenty of priests and high priests and different ones come that were mighty in word, but he was not just mighty in word. He wasn't just good at quoting the word, but he could live the word. He was mighty in word and in deed. He could produce and back up what the word said behind him. So we, in our lives before our children, we should produce what the word says as a light that they can follow, a light that we can set an example that they would be able, we could lead them and guide them and instill in them and train up in them the right kind of things. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody still with me tonight? Amen. Brother Bam says, in God, hiding himself in simplicity, 1963. This is in Jeffersonville, March the 17th. He's getting ready to preach the breach and then take us on into the first through the seventh seal and questions and answers on the seals. But before he does this, he preaches a sermon called God in Simplicity. And he tells us a real mother wants to take her baby to church, and that's the thing you should do. So why do we find more and more so-called Christians or so-called message believers that go to church less and less and less, and their children are around church less and less and less, when he stood up and told us in the very seal series that we claim to believe that a real mother wants to take her baby to church, and that's the thing that you should do. Now, I want to say, going to church does not save you any more than standing in a garage makes you an automobile or standing in a McDonald's makes you a Big Mac, but there is something about the environment that if you get your children or if you get yourself in church, then that environment, Brother Branham said that a puppy dog could hatch out a chicken egg if it would just lay right and produce the right type of heat. The atmosphere was what would hatch out the egg. So we find that there's something about atmosphere that you say, well, church won't save me, so I'm not dependent on that. Hey, I'm not dependent on church either to save me, but I thank God for an atmosphere where I could recognize that I was saved before the foundation of the world. I thank God for an atmosphere where we can see God begin to do things for people. And I don't know about you, I want to keep my children in that type of atmosphere. Not because I'm the pastor. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd certainly want to try to find some church where there was that type of an atmosphere where a birth could be produced in the lives of our young people. Now, while we're on this thought of God and simplicity, you know, Brother Trevor and I, we went out to lunch a few days ago, and I'd got a gift card from some credit card points that I'd redeemed, and we went out to eat at a little place where we like to go and get wings, and we began to talk about some different things, and how that in the message, you know, we've tried to figure out so much about so much, and we get away from God and simplicity, but we follow a prophet of God that they would ask him this question in 1964 in Questions and Answers Part 3. They would ask him, how can a Christian get deeper in the love of God? Now, we as message believers, we would, I'm sure, have come up with some deep explanation, some 10-step process of how to get deeper into a relationship with Jesus. Well, you got to fly out to Tucson and go up to Sabino Canyon and get your little pup tent and camp out there with just enough food and water to get you by, and listen to tapes for about 3 days and pray for about 7 days, and those are good spiritual numbers, and you fast and pray and lay before the Lord, and that's how you're going to get closer to God. Or we would tell them, well, if you just study this series, or if you just sit under this minister, or if you just attend this church that we would recommend, if you would just get there and just really, you know, submit yourself to that teaching and get behind that, that's how you get closer to God. Or, well, if you would just believe this doctrine the certain way that Brother so-and-so teaches it, that's how you really get into a deeper relationship with God. But Brother Bannon would say, read the word and pray. Read the word of God and pray. This is a great mystery. No, it was too simple for most of us. We wanted something deep and complex and so super duper supernatural that we wanted something that we could put something into and do some great works to say, look what a great Christian I am, Brother Hoover. Look how much I paid for my airplane ticket. Look how much vacation I took to get alone on this spiritual quest that I went on. And oh my, as the sun came up, I began to feel the mist and the dew coming over the mountains. I saw a rainbow, and we'd come back with some great supernatural story to share. Hey, that's all right. I believe God knows those things too. But you want to get deeper in the love of God? Read the word and pray. Amen. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Why do we struggle so much with that? Why do we let the devil rob that from us so much in our daily walk as believers? Why do we let him rob us of our devotions at night with the family if we'll let him? Why do we let him eat away at the very core of the thing that the prophet of God taught us to do to get deeper in love with God? Why? We want something bigger that we can do. Now, if I gave you some 10-step book of some formula that I'd put together from about 57 quotes, and I had some way to do it, if you just go do this, Brother Brandon, when he was here, this happened, and when he was over here, this happened, so if you'll just follow this geographic map and follow his footsteps along, God is going to do something spiritual for you. You'd think, praise God, where do I buy the book? I want to get it, and I want to do it. My family's going there on our vacation. That's what we're going to do. But he said, just so simply, read the word and pray. I want to ask for a show of hands of how many of you have done it every day this week. Maybe I'd be proud, and maybe we'd just dismiss and have a prayer meeting. I'm not sure which, but you know in your heart what it would be. Amen. Read the word and pray. Read the word of God and pray. Be not afraid. 1961, he says, it's too bad that mothers don't take their children today and tell them Bible stories. Calling Jesus on the scene, 1964. And you know, that's a good thing for any mother to do to her children. Bring up a child in the way it should go. It would be better than turning on the television and watch some of these here things that goes on the television. You'd be better off if you read him a Bible story, because it's impressing his little mind. Whatever you keep before the child, whether it's music or whether it's a movie or whether it's the word of God or whether it's whatever that you're doing there, whatever you're projecting before that child through its ears and through its eyes and through its learning, through its ability to learn and to read and to hear and listen and see, whatever you're producing, whatever you're projecting before the child, that's what the child is going to be. And many times, you know, we wonder, we look around at some of the message young people, and we wonder, why on earth have they got so far removed from the word, and why do they run so hard to the world? Well, a lot of it may be because that's all their parents projected to them, was a Hollywood mentality of relationships and a Hollywood mentality of all these different things, and they sit there and watch that, and then we wonder, well, what happened, Brother Trevor? Why would they go out and do those things? Maybe it's because you projected it to them every day in your home through the television shows and the movies that you watched and the books you read or allowed to be around your house. You know, Brother Bam makes a statement that they said years back, and they made a song out of it. Said, oh my, said, you let down the bars. You let down the bars. Said, the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? Said, you let down the bars. We had a family that was visiting a couple Sundays ago, and their little boy came to Sunday school, or their little girl, I think, came to Sunday school, and the little boy, he was down there in the basement with his mom. And as I got ready to go upstairs, I noticed there was a little bitty goat sitting on one of our folding chairs there, and he had forgot it down in the basement, a little bitty rubber goat. And I picked it up, and I showed it to the brothers. I said, well, the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? That's just asking to get picked on by a preacher to bring a goat to church, ain't it? Now, don't talk to Brother Tim Pruitt about goats, or he'll tell you all the benefits and the good things about goats because he raised goats for years. But we know, you know, what Brother Bam taught about the sheep and the goats. But we also know that Brother Bam said that Jesus represented both of those goats that were the scapegoats. So, you know, there's a quote for everything, right? So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. I just felt led to do this, and it may be a little bit out of the ordinary. But Brother Bam tells us in this next quote that we're going to read, I'll just go ahead and read the first part of this. Elisha the prophet, 1956, he said, and every evening when I'm home, after everything's cleaned out, I take my little girls and give them a Bible study. Now, he wasn't able to be home as much as most of us brothers are, because here he was traveling the world. He was in Africa and India and all around, even just in the States, constantly gone. But when he was back home and they got everything taken care of, he said, I take my little girls and give them a Bible study, put them in the car so nobody interrupts us. Oh, my, well, that's a good idea, isn't it? Or maybe you don't even have to do that, because maybe you don't have people lined out your driveway, you know, because you've lived such a Christian life that people are lined up in front of your house to ask you to pray for them. So maybe you don't have quite the problem that he did as far as people coming into the house so much. Maybe you have the Jehovah Witness knock on your door about once every 6 months, and your attitude's probably scared them off by now anyhow, so you don't even have to worry about that. So maybe you don't have to leave the house and go for a drive like he did. Maybe you do, but maybe you just have to sign out of Facebook for a few hours, and maybe you just have to put your phone on airplane mode for a few minutes, or just silence the thing so that Susie down the road and you know, Uncle Joe and Aunt Sally and whoever doesn't call you 57 times and interrupt devotions. Just do something so that nobody interrupts you for a little bit. Because let me warn you, if you go to do this, the devil will try to interrupt you. That guy that hasn't paid you that bill that he's owed you for months, he'll call you and want to give you his story, and you'll be wanting to get that money, so you'll want to sit and listen, or the boss will try to get a hold of you, or somebody will try to call you and sell you something or give you something or persuade you to go do something. So the devil will try to interrupt this if we actually put forth the effort to do it. So just get ready to make some preparations so that nobody interrupts. He says, so he said, put them in the car so nobody interrupts us, and ride around wife and baby, and I give them questions like, who was Elijah? What was he? And right quick, them little old 6-year-old and 8-year-old girls say, Tishbite, see? Right quick. And I'd say, how do you know that he was how could you tell if you'd meet him today? What kind of a man was he? Oh, he was a hairy man and had leather around his loins. Little Rebecca and Sarah want to holler out, see? Just keep drilling that into their minds, drilling it. Just keep drilling it into their minds. You want to memorize, some of you adults that are trying to, you want to memorize Brother Trevor's verse that he, or quote from the church age book that he gives you to read and to try to memorize. How are you going to do it? You're not going to do it by reading it twice a month up here on a Sunday night. You're not going to memorize it that way, unless God's blessed you with the photographic memory a lot better than mine. You're not going to memorize it that way. How are you going to memorize it? By drilling it into your mind. Keep drilling it. Read it out loud to yourself. Or have your parents, or have your spouse or somebody read it out loud to you. How are you going to memorize these Bible verses that the Sunday school teachers want you to memorize? That, oh my, every Sunday we've got to memorize a verse, and it's so terrible. And my, we've wore out Jesus wept till Sister Stephanie won't let us use it no more. And oh my, how are you going to do it? Not like we do sometimes, by on the drive to church realizing the kids don't have a memory verse and repeating it 50 times. That's not the way to do it. It works sometimes. In a pinch, Amen. Can anybody testify besides the pastor this evening? Oh, my, look at the hands. My, if I'd have known people was going to be raising hands like that, I would have asked you how many read your Bible and prayed every day. How are you going to do it? Just keep drilling it that into their minds, drilling it. Now, you realize, you know, if you're going to go to learn anything, if you're going to pass a test in school, or if you're going to go do something, if you're going to have an achievement as an adult or whatever it would be, you're going to go and you're going to have a career, you're going to be an electrician or a plumber or an engineer or a computer programmer or whatever it be, you're not just going to do that by just skimming through the textbooks and you're not going to learn, you know, C sharp or some of these programming languages just by flipping through the book and saying, well, okay, I think I looked at a couple of the pictures, I got it. How are you going to get it? By drilling it into your minds. How is, you know, Sister Julie, she teaches math, and how is she going to be proud of her students about their multiplication tables? It's not by them sneaking their iPhone out of their pocket and doing it over on the side like that. She's going to be proud of them if they'll keep drilling that into their mind. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 8, and so on. We'll stop there, okay? I'm always scared of this math stuff around Sister Julie. I'm going to get to a certain point where she's going to laugh real loud out there, and I'm just going to have to dismiss and realize I did something wrong and sneak the iPhone out of my pocket and do it. But how do you recognize? You just keep drilling it. That's how you learn your multiplication tables. That's how you learn your addition. That's how we learn these things. That's how we memorize scripture. So if we're going to go do those type of things, if it's a career or if it's something that we're going to do as a job, if it's something that we're going to do to pass something in school, if there's a position that's opening up and we have to pass some tests and things to be able to move on to that next step, how are you going to get it? By drilling it into their minds. So you say, oh, Brother Nathan, you're talking about brainwashing people. We're not going to be brainwashed. Hey, when it comes to the Word of God, I wish some of you were a little more brainwashed to where you could quote it a little bit better and know it a little bit better. That's all right. If you're going to get brainwashed on anything, not on my formula or somebody else's formula or their doctrinal idea, but if you're going to learn something and drill it and drill it and drill it, this is a good place to start. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. Because, you know, Jesus, He knew all things. But yet the Bible said that he grew in stature and in knowledge. So Jesus is a little baby there in Nazareth. I don't think that he knew the entire Bible at that point. The fullness of the Godhead bodily hadn't come and dwelt in him. And yet when he gets there and he begins to face the devil in the desert, he begins to quote the scriptures with him. Now somebody had read him those at some point. Amen. I believe he got to a point where he knew all things, and he could probably have a lot better recall than the rest of us could, or at least the Lord could give it to him by the unction of the Spirit. I don't know how that worked. I don't have a schematic or an algorithm or a chart to show you what was sold and what was spirit and what was mind of Christ, or how much he had storage of his mind and how much of it was just the Spirit quickening. I don't know, and I'm not here to debate that. All I'm saying is, as a child, I believe his mother set him down and heard Jehovah she was teaching scriptures to. And now he faces the devil out in the desert, and he's able to repeat some of those scriptures back into him. So there's nothing wrong with drilling scriptures into our children's minds. He said, keep drilling that into their minds, drilling it constantly. That's what you do to your children, mother. Quit running around over the city and gadding about. Give your children Bible lectures and things. That's the thing to do. Amen. That's the thing to do. Amen. And let me say, it's not that hard. Some of you get scared when we get to talking about these things. When Brother Trevor and I begin to talk about some of the parent stuff and the devotions and things like that, you could just tell some people's toes were just curling up in their shoes because they weren't sure what we were going to make them do or say or read, and they didn't know what it was going to be. And they get, some people get nervous because they think, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a prophet. I don't know the Bible as well as Brother Trevor does, and I can't maybe quote the message like Brother Nathan can. And my kids ask me questions, I just don't know what to do. Well, you know, when somebody asks me a question, I don't know the answer. I've learned you don't have to try to bluff your way through it and fake like you know it, because then people are just going to find out that you're just pulling their arm or whatever, their leg or whatever it be. But the way to do that, if somebody asks you questions and you don't know, you just say, brother, sister, little child, whatever it would be, I don't know the answer to that right now off the top of my head, but you know what? I'll study and I'll see if I can find the answer. And if I can't, I'll go to the pastor or somebody that does know the answer, and I'll try to find that out for you. It's okay to do that. Amen. It's okay to do that. Philip He asked me one the other day, and it took me a little bit. I finally got it, but it took me a little bit to remember for sure what it was, a Bible question. He thought that was funny, Sister Jeannie, that he stumped me on a Bible question for a few minutes. So I don't have perfect recall that I've memorized. I haven't memorized every verse and every quote yet, so you just have to bear with me sometimes. So you as parents shouldn't be embarrassed of that and let the devil beat you up with that. Just say, well, we just won't do Bible studies with the children. We won't ask them Bible questions, or we won't do devotions. No, you need to do those things. So Brother Azariah, power that thing up over there. And I'm just going to ask some questions. I'm going to start off with some real easy ones for some of the young children. And don't worry, I won't make fun of you if you get the answer wrong. And if anybody else makes fun of you, I'll walk out and smack them on the hand, okay? So we're going to ask some simple questions. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot to answer it, because I don't know, you know, if you know the answer or if you don't. But I'm going to ask some easy ones, and we're going to try to get some of these young ones to raise their hands and answer them. And as they get harder, if they can't answer, we'll get maybe some of the teenagers to answer. And then if they can't answer, maybe we'll get some of the adults to answer, okay? And we're just going to go through. I wrote down 23 of these just off the top of my head the other day. And the kids kept walking in while I was doing this, Brother Trevor, and I had to keep shutting the laptop lid because I figured they'd be reading over my shoulder and cheating when we got to this point in the service. So the first question is, and we're just, Brother Trevor, why don't you come up here? I'll borrow you, and I'm going to borrow Brother Layton. And you brother's job is to help me to catch who raises their hand first, so that we can have Brother Azariah take them a mic. And then your other job is to catch, to make sure nobody's flipping through their Bible or their iPhone to get the answer. Okay, the first question is, what were the names of the first man and woman? Ooh, that was a lot. I think Ruth. All right. The name of the first man and woman?
Adam and Eve.
Good job. That is the right answer. All right, the second question is, who married Abraham? Was that Olivia or Jackson? Or Noah? Noah? Okay, Brother Trevor says it was Noah, so I'm trying to look down and read, so we'll take his word. If he's wrong, you blame him for it after church.
Sarah
was Abraham's wife. All right. What was their little boy's name, Abraham and Sarah's little boy? I think that was James.
Isaac.
All right, that's good. Now, who married Isaac? I think that was Christian. And it's going to get to some point where me or Brother Trevor, one is going to not know somebody's children's name. So.
I forgot.
Who married Isaac? It's okay. You can pass if you don't want to. See if your mom knows. See if she can get it.
Rebecca,
that's good. My wife's going to get on you for that one, Christian, for not knowing that one. And that's actually just for everybody that writes thank you cards and things. That, the Old Testament way of spelling Rebecca, is how my wife's name is spelled. The New Testament way, if you spell her name that way, she'll still love you, but she may shake her head a little bit. What were their sons' names? Isaac and Rebecca, what were their sons' names? Was it Olivia? Well, wait till he gets this up here, so that everybody can hear you. What were their sons' names?
Jacob and Esau.
Good job, Olivia. All right. So now, can somebody tell me what Esau looked like from what Moses wrote about him? What did Esau look like? Philip?
Hairy.
That's one thing. Can you give me one other thing? Another adjective to describe him? If you can't, we'll get somebody else for the other half of the question. He was hairy. That's part of it. He was something and hairy. Gloriana is going to try if you don't. All right. Half a point for Philip and half a point for Gloriana.
Red.
He was red and hairy. Good job, both of you. All right. Now, here's one that if somebody just asked me off the top of my head, I don't know if I could get it, but we're going to see if anybody can get it tonight. What were the names of Jacob's 12 sons? Is there anybody that can say all 12 of Jacob's sons? Gloriana? Well, hey, you're braver than I am.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Asher, Gad, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin.
I think that was all of them. That's 10? Who did she miss? I was going through. She went almost in the exact order that I have them to.
Naphtali.
Yep, that's another one.
And did I say Manasseh?
That's one of Joseph's children, but hang on. Now we're going to have to figure out which
one. Levi? Did I say that one?
You said Reuben.
Gad?
Did she not say Levi? She did say Levi, Zion? All right, start over. Sorry. Here, help me. Help me. Look. Right, yeah. Hang on. Bear with us. I got one right here. She went right down the line for about the first half of it there, the order that I had, so it was easy, and then she threw me for the... Go ahead, Gloriana. I'm sorry. Right here.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Issachar.
She got there, the three the first time, so we'll give it to her. Judah, Benjamin, and Joseph. You'd said those the first time, so I don't remember which one you missed, but she definitely said those three the first time. So good job, Gloria. I think she deserves a hand. Those Eamon kids, I tell you. Train up a child.
Drilling.
Drilling, that's right. Did they do the whole book of Hebrews one time?
No.
Or it was several chapters. Hebrews chapter 11, they quoted the whole thing for a memory verse one time. Can you imagine having been that teacher? Look, we got to have class for everybody else. But. But they did it. That's impressive. I don't know. I can't quote the whole book of or the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. All right. What was Ruth's husband's name? Philip, I think. Ruth started and then she stopped. Philip, wait till he gets over to you. Ruth's husband's name.
Boaz.
Ruth in the Bible. Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't remember. Was her husband Mahlon or was it the other one? I don't know either. Somebody can stump us on that one. All right. What was Samuel's mother's name? Was that Olivia?
She's retracted.
Okay. What was Samuel's mother's name?
Christian.
Christian? You've already used phone a friend, so you can't do that one again.
Hannah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yep. What was David's father's name? Was that Christian again?
Jesse.
Good job. What two signs did God give Moses to show the children of Israel? Olivia, I think. What two signs did God give Moses to show the children of Israel?
The staff turning into a snake and leprosy.
His hand turning into leprosy. Good job. What was Aaron's breastplate called? Brother Joel's got his hand up. Sorry. What was Aaron's breastplate called, Philip?
Urim of Thummim.
Good job, yes. What was the name of the third man who withstood... What was the name of the third man who withstood Moses with Dathan and Korah? There was a third man with them that the Bible mentions, that Brother Branham I don't think ever mentions, but there was three men actually, and I won't give you the reference yet because nobody's got it, but there's a third man who withstood Dathan and Korah. It is teenagers. Adults.
Abiram.
Good job. Abiram. That's in Numbers 16, verse 1. Sorry, what? I pronounce it the same way that he did, Brother Trevor. Brother Trevor and I argue over word pronunciations all the time, so I'm with our brother on the pronunciation. All right, I think I've got all these so far. What was the name of Elisha's servant? The name of Elisha's servant. Brother Anthony. He beat you, Brother Hoover, sorry.
Gehazi,
that's correct. What was Esther's husband's name? Alyssa. I started to call her Naomi, sorry.
Xerxes.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah. Brother Trevor gives you a thumbs up on your. What was John the Baptist's parents' name? Parents' names, both of them. No, John the Baptist's parents' name.
Elizabeth and Zachariah.
Good job, yes. All right, who was Malchus in the Bible? What is he known for, Malchus in the Bible? Brother Furman, wait a minute. he gets first dibs as the adults, but any of the kids know who Malchus was? No giving him hints over here. We getting grandparent hints over here. Anybody know what Malchus is known for in the Bible? Olivia, you going to try?
Malachi?
No, Malchus.
Okay, I don't know.
New Testament. All right, Brother Furman, we'll give it to you. Give him the mic, Brother Azariah. And if you can do this, it's 2 points. What was his job, and what is he known for?
I believe it was the guy that Peter cut his ear off.
Yep.
But I guess he was a guard.
He was the high priest's servant.
Oh, the high priest's servant.
Which ear was it? Yeah, does somebody have their hand up over here? Which ear? I think it was Emma.
Left?
No, but it was a 50-50 shot. Is his right ear. That's St. John 18:10. It says that it was his right ear. What was Eutychus known for doing in the Bible? Eutychus? Did Zion beat Gloriana? Go ahead, Zion.
He fell asleep.
He literally fell asleep in church to his death, yes. But he was raised back to life again. Acts 20, verse 9. All right, what colors were the four horse riders of Revelations chapter 6? I think Gloriana.
Red, black, pale, and white.
Correct. So St. Paul is typically begins his epistles, Paul, an apostle of Christ, or Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. But how does he begin the epistle of, Brother Trevor's going to argue with me about this, Philemon or Philemon? Brother Hoover's got it if none of the other children want to try it. Or Sister Courtney, you're younger than him. Go ahead. Most of us are. It's okay.
Was it a prisoner?
Paul, a prisoner. That's correct. We're trying to do it by age, Brother Hoover. In Acts 9... Sorry.
I said me and Brother Lightning
Valley. I know. In Acts 19, what items were taken from the body of St. Paul for the sick? Zion, let's see if somebody younger than you can get that one. What items were taken from the body of St. Paul for the sick in Acts chapter 19? Two different items. Olivia, I think.
Aprons.
That's one of them. What was the other one? There's two items. I figured you'd get the other one. No. I use one every service as a hint. You're not sure? Okay. Anybody else got the other one? Philip has the other one.
Handkerchiefs.
Good job. So what are we learning? The kids that sit the closest to the front... and Christian, who sits in the very back. You middle of the church people, I'm just not sure about you. No, I'm just teasing. Some of you, some of the kids are probably too shy to do this, but I'm impressed with the ones that are doing it. Who was called a friend of publicans and sinners? Olivia? If not, I think it goes Anthony and then Sister Sizemore.
Jesus
was called the... All right, thank you, brothers. That was all the ones I had for tonight. Let's give these young people a hand clap. Amen. And you adults that got some as well. Good job. I'm impressed. Very good job. So see, you're training up these children in the way that they should go. And Azariah, you could have jumped in there too, even though you already had the mic. You could have raised your hand, but I'm sure he was holding back on some of those. But his brother and sister made up the difference for him there. But no, wonderful, wonderful, you know. So that, what is it? What does that tell you? These parents and things. These kids didn't just guess these questions. They heard them somewhere. They heard them. So you're teaching them at home, and the Sunday school teachers are teaching them, and they're hearing it at church. Train up a child in the way they should go. Now, being able to memorize quotes and scriptures and knowing that Esau was red and hairy, that's not going to save you, but it might help you in a time of need when the devil comes and begins to lie to you like he was trying to do to Brother Hoover. Then you can take him back to the scriptures and say, that's right, but it's also written. It's written, and instill those things in your children. And then when they're out here and they get ready to go do something wrong and they hear their mother's voice back in their head and they think, oh, Brother Jimmy, why did she have to teach me that? And it's always right there with them wherever they go. Amen. And Paul said, David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. And if I ascend up into heaven, he's there. And wherever he tried to go, he couldn't get away from God. Jonah tried to run, but he couldn't get away from God. So there's something about it. That word, if you keep impressing it, that'll stay in their subconscious and in their mind, and it'll begin to sink down into their heart, and it'll begin to be a part of their life, to where when they're out there and they're facing things that maybe you're not there to help coach them along anymore, but yet there's something in there that you instilled in them that they can go back to, and it'll be a guide to them. It'll be a foundation for them. So we believe in doing those things. Quit running around over the city and gadding about. He says, give your children Bible lectures and things. That's the thing to do. He said, all these here societies and posts, although it's in the church is societied up. There's no time to raise the children, and I believe you've heard my expression of women preachers. Now I might have to crawl back on that, but let me tell you, every mother is a preacher. Sure, and God gives her a little congregation at home to preach to. I won't stop there. I could, but I won't. We'll just keep going. So now, just keep it going, he says. That's good. You get it first, so then go right with your children. And here, some time ago, I was reading an article where there was a home, and five boys was born in this home, and as soon as their oldest one got old enough to go to the Navy, off to the Navy he went. The second one followed, the next one, until all the whole five went away to the Navy, and there was no Marines or Navy men in their family. The mother and father couldn't understand just why these people, these boys, everyone wanted to go to the Navy. There was a real fine-combing investigation made of this, and come to find out, in the bedroom where these boys all was brought up, in this bedroom, there was a beautiful picture hanging there of a big ship sailing on a quiet, calm sea. And it so impressed the boys as they went to bed at night looking at this picture. It was on their mind. What they were going to bed thinking about, they were looking, and they were going to bed, and their mind wasn't on zombies and comic books and all these things, but they were laying there in bed looking, and the last thing that was on their mind was this ship. And it so impressed them that as soon as they were able to, they would go and join the Navy. Why? It was what they were looking at. When they went to bed at night, it's what they looked at. When they got up in the morning, it's what they looked at, and it impressed them. It was on their mind to sail that quiet, soothing sea, he says. And along the morning, when they rose, the first thing they could look at was that ship making her way through the quiet, calm sea, and it impressed the boys so that each one become a sailor. Now, if a picture of a ship will impress boys to become Navy men, sailors of the sea, what ought the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ do, see? Amen. What's he talking about? Keeping the right things before him. Letting them hear the right things. Letting them see the right things. It'll impress them. If an old painting of a ship on a sea would impress five boys in that way, what would keeping the right things before them? When they go to bed at night, the last thing they're thinking about, and when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they're thinking about, if you're doing those type of devotions in the evening and in the morning, and that's the first thing on their mind, what's it going to do? It's going to impress them. It's going to have an impact on their life. He says, always have the right thing before your children. Bring up a child in the way that it should go. See, bring it up and teach it right. It'll certainly won't depart from it. Now, we may not have ran and shouted tonight, and I may not have been as all over the platform as I am sometimes, but if we'll just take these things to heart that we looked at tonight, it'll produce young men and young women of tomorrow that could shake the kingdom of hell. What did Brother Bram say when Satan, when Jesus went down there and he slammed the door of hell in the face of the devil? He said it shook the soot pegs of hell in the devil's eyes. And God's raising up. If time tarries, Brother Trevor and I will be the Brother Layton and the Brother Hoover of tomorrow. And there'll be other young men and young women that are raising up. We'll be the Brother Arnie's and the Brother this one and Brother that one, the Brother Yarborough, the Brother Jerry. We'll be those ones of tomorrow that's now in their 60s and 70s and things. And we'll be starting to wind down and saying, you know what, Brother Trevor? I don't know what it is. When I get up there and try to preach, I just don't have the wind to do it like I used to do it. I can't go full speed like I used to. And you know, I can't remember some of them quotes like I used to. There's just something about it. My body is starting to slow down, and I'm not picking on these brothers tonight. Now, I know I'm going to hear about this later, but we're just being honest tonight. Brother Layton, thank you, brother. He said, it's true. And if time tarries and the Lord tarries, we're going to be those brothers of tomorrow. And there'll be some young ones that are maybe sitting here tonight, or maybe that the Lord will bring in, that will be sitting over here and back there saying, my goodness, I remember when I used to do that. I remember when I used to jump off the platform like that. I couldn't do it now. I'd break an ankle or my knee or my back or something. But God's raising up people. Brother Furman will be back there, and he'll be his vocal cords, you know. There'll be Horse and War from years and years of song leading, and there'll be young men coming up singing. Why? Because God always has somebody to take it on to the next generation if there is one. So there'll be a need for Sunday school teachers and song leaders and pastors and evangelists and deacons and trustees and different things. Eventually, Brother Jimmy's going to get to the point he's not going to want to be getting up on the ladder and climbing on the roof. He's going to say, look, I'm not risking that anymore, boys. I'm 80 years old. One good slip and that's all she wrote. And we'll have to have another trustee. Did you say at least one that can climb? Yeah. Let him do the first level things and let somebody else climb on the roof. But God will raise up somebody. God will raise up men and women of tomorrow. So it's our job as parents and as pastors and as Sunday school teachers to instill those things in these that are coming up so that there'll be somebody in the next generation that'll know something about God. When somebody has a problem, when somebody has a question, they'll know, hey, there's this guy. I may not understand all that he does, and I may not like where he goes to church, and I may not understand the way he dresses and all this stuff, but whenever I've got a question at my job about something about the Lord, he always seems like he has an answer. And there's this young lady that, you know, maybe she's been struggling and maybe she's been tempted with things. But every time she starts to mention the stuff she's thinking about doing, this other little sister begins to stand up and say, oh, my, I used to struggle with those things, too. But let me tell you about what the Lord did for me, how he delivered me and blessed me. God's going to raise up people. Amen. If there's a tomorrow, there will be another group of young people that God will raise up to carry this thing on. And I want to say, I said it last Wednesday night, and I meant to say it Sunday morning, but I wasn't preaching, Brother Branham was, and I forgot to mention it, but I'm proud of our group of young people. I want to say tonight, and I know there's a lot of them here tonight, and I thank God for that on a Wednesday night that we've got a lot of young people here. I've noticed some of them come, even when the parents can't make it. There's some of our teenagers that are able to drive or get rides with somebody, and some of them are still coming even when the parents can't because they're on vacation or working or whatever. I want to say I appreciate those things, and I notice those things. And I know sometimes we preach hard, and we preach things that maybe you think they're stepping on your toes or whatever, but we do it out of love because we're concerned about your soul, and we want to see you have an experience with God. But I want to say I've been hearing some wonderful testimonies about our young people and how they're encouraging one another. You know, as young people, it's easy if you're not careful when one person is struggling just to kind of, everybody just begins to, like lemmings, kind of fall down that pathway, and it's easier to make the wrong decisions many times. It's easier in the moment to make the wrong decision many times, and it's harder to make the right decision. But if you can make the right decision and yield to the Lord like we've been looking at in these Wednesday night series, it'll bring you out so much better and so much further down the road if you can take that stand in the moment and say, hey, I'm going to make the right choice. I'm not going to let Satan set a trap for me and ruin my life. I'm going to make the right choice, and I'm going to do what would be pleasing to God, not just because the pastor said so or not just because my parents said so, but because I believe that it's right, and I'm going to stand for it and take a stand, even if everybody else makes fun of me and says I'm just an old fuddy-duddy or whatever they say today. I don't know what that translates into in 2019 language. I'm sure they've got something for it, but you know what I'm saying tonight, right? Amen. I'm going to stand for the word, and I'm proud of our young people. Our young people aren't perfect, but hey, that's okay. They don't have a perfect pastor or perfect deacons. They didn't have a perfect prophet. I know that scares people, but he wasn't perfect. He never claimed to be. He didn't claim to be infallible. He claimed to be a sinner saved by grace that was able to stand up and share things with us. And I thank God for that, because hey, it leaves us a little bit of room to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending us a man like that. Thank you for sending us a Moses and a David and a Samson and men like that, that were men that made mistakes. And they weren't perfect, but yet they had a zeal in their heart to serve the Lord. And deep down in their heart's desire was to do something for God. And so we don't have perfect people here. I haven't got a perfect congregation member yet. I probably won't ever get one, Brother Hoover. The moment we do, I won't be able to enjoy it, because we'll all be transfigured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'll think, Brother Lee, I finally got a perfect, and then we'll just take a step and be gone. Because if we're perfect, we'll be God, like Enoch, and be closer to God's house than we are to our own. We'll just keep walking and take a step. Amen. So I'm not preaching to perfect parents or perfect teenagers, but I am proud of you. And I know we shouldn't compare ourselves with other people. Well, Brother so-and-so over here, his kids are like this, and this one over here, this church or this family or this whatever. But I'm proud of our young people. I'm proud of their stand for the word and their stand for the Lord. I'm proud of the way that they're growing. I'm proud of the way Brother Trevor and Brother Stephen and some of these brothers, Brother Hoover and Brother Layton, and the different ones that have spoke to them in the youth Bible studies. I'm proud of the direction that this young people's group is going, that they're making good decisions, and that they're having a positive impact on one another. There's something about it when you know, if one can stand on their own and say, hey, I don't care what anybody else does, I'm standing for the Lord, then that makes it easier for the second one to stand. And then when that second one stands and says, hey, you know what? He's right. I'm going to take a stand for the Lord. Then when there's two standing, then that makes it a lot easier for the third one. Kind of like when we have altar calls or somebody's sick come up, and nobody wants to be the first one, Brother Hoover, unless they're really sick or really got a desperate need. But when that first one comes up, then it seems like there's just almost a line out the back door. Why? Because nobody wanted to be the first person. That happens in churches and families and schools and different things, jobs or whatever it be. A lot of times somebody doesn't want to be the first one to stand up and say, hey, I'll take the load. I'll do it. I'll do the hard part. I'll stand up and be a burden bearer. Nobody wants to be the first one to step out. But when somebody does, you know, there was, well, I won't say that tonight. The Lord checked me on it. But there have been men that have gone before through the ages that have taken a stand when somebody else wouldn't. And then before you know it, there would be others that would rise up. When David went and fought Goliath, nobody else wanted to face that giant. But once he defeated the giant, here they came by the thousands, Brother Layton. Said, hey, we can defeat us some Philistines too. All it takes is one person to stand for what's right. And then a second will stand, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. And why don't we all just stand tonight so I don't keep going forever. Amen. God bless you tonight. God's good to us, isn't he? Yeah. I know I went a little beyond time. Yeah. I know I went a little beyond time, but I'll make Brother Furman keep the song service shorter. Brother Layton wanted to say something.
Brother Nathan was reading the quote where Brother Bram talked about the five men that end up on the same boat, ship, excuse me. In my day, we didn't call them boats, we called them ships. A boat was something you could get in and row around. But, okay, for those of you that don't know, a little history lesson. They were called the Sullivan brothers. There was five of them, yes. What happened when Brother Bam said there was a big investigation? All five of them were on the same ship. The ship was torpedoed during the war, and all five of them were killed. That brought up a big stink, if you would, from the family and from others. Why were these five boys on the same boat at the same time? Because that ended their dad's lineage, shall we say, because there was no other son to carry on their dad's name. So because of that, after all the investigation, you can now, at least when I was in, I don't think it's changed, you could not, if there's only two sons, you couldn't put them both on the same ship. One had to be on one ship and one on another one. So if one got killed, perhaps the other one would survive. So just so you know, that's what they were all referred to over the years as the five Sullivan brothers. And that was their name of the five boys that Brother Branham was referring to and the investigation and why. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. No problem. Thank you for sharing that, brother. And that may put some of you to ease that maybe you've got family members that go to a different church. Maybe God did that for a reason. Because this church could only handle one Sullivan brother or whatever your last name is. And that other church could maybe only handle one over there. And maybe they knew that it was just going to cause, God knew it was going to cause problems. He said, nope, this church can't handle that many. So, amen. God does all things well, doesn't he? Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know tonight may be a little bit different format than normal for a church service, but Lord, you laid it on my heart, and I pray that it will have an impact on these young people and parents alike, Lord, that, Lord, we'll keep the right things before our children, before our young people, Lord. And I just ask you to help us, Lord. Help us to make the right decisions. Help us to stand. Lord, if nobody else is standing for the truth, Lord, may we stand for what's right and what's true, Father. Lord, may we put you first in all of our decisions. Lord, may you lead us and guide us, Lord, for whatever we're seeking, Lord. May, Lord, if it's a job change, Lord, if it's, Lord, some type of a career change, educational change, whatever it would be, Lord, may you lead us and guide us to the right decisions, Lord. May you speak to our hearts and make your perfect will be known, Lord, for us as individuals, for our families, Lord, for our church. Whatever you'd have us to do or say, Lord, we want, Lord, you to be at the forefront of all of our decisions, whether it's financial, spiritual, physical, Lord, job-related, school-related, for our children, whatever it would be, Lord. Lord, for these young people, when they get to the age, Lord, of choosing a mate, Lord, may they put you first in their choosing, Lord. May they seek you, and may you lead them and guide them to the right one, Father, we pray. Give us wisdom and strength, Lord. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Protect us and bring us back at the appointed hour. Lord, keep us safe. Lord, help us to take the time out to instill those things into our children, Lord, of you, Lord, of your word. And Lord, to teach them the right things and keep the right things before them, Father, we pray. Give us strength for the journey, Lord. Be with each one, Lord. Maybe there's needs represented here tonight, Lord. Lord, may you encourage. May you minister to those needs, I pray, Father. Lord, we need you in this hour more than ever, Father, when there's enemies going about like a roaring lion, but yet, Lord, when he comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard against him, Lord. And Lord, whenever there's a temptation or whenever there's a trial, whenever there's, Lord, something that we don't see a way above or around or through, Lord, yet you provide a way of escape for us, Lord, just like you did for the Hebrew children, Lord, at the Red Sea there. Lord, you provided a way where it looked like there was no way, Lord. Maybe we've beat our heads against, Lord, walls and said, Lord, we don't know where to turn or what to do. We're at our end, Lord, as far as our own mental ability or our own being able to figure out things in our own human capacity, Father. But, Lord, you didn't ask us to figure it all out on our own and work it all out. You asked us to depend on you. Lord, and just as our children here tonight are depending on us for clothing and education and to bring them to church and teach them about Jesus and do devotions, Lord, and have food on the table for them, a roof over their head, just as they're depending on you, Lord, may we be as little children and depend on our Heavenly Father to lead us and guide us and provide for us. Lord, we commit it all to you tonight. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name.
Of this old world, the less it means to me, and it's Jesus I really want to see.
Oh, is that how you feel about it tonight? Is that your desire?
Oh, yes, it's Jesus the more I see of this soul.
to me, and it's Jesus I really want to see once more all together. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more
good to be in church. It's good to hear the children to know that they have some of those things instilled in them. If the reason Christian knows those things is, as I'm ashamed to say, it's not because of his dad. It's because of his mother back there that he has gained such a knowledge. And yeah, he might have been sitting on the back row, but when Ethan's healing is manifest, these front rows, you better get here half an hour early because the Stutzman family is moving on up. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. It's going to happen. Amen. Amen. I was listening to the first part of the Smyrnian Church Age the other day mowing, and Brother Branham mentioned almost the exact words of this song. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Let's sing that before we go.
G.
Oh, the name of the Lord is, he's a strong tower. Righteous run into it, and they are saved. Oh yes, the name of the Lord is, he's a strong tower. All the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Yes, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Yes, Jesus is the name of the Lord. God bless you, saints. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. You can be dismissed. Oh, yes, the name of the Lord is, he's a strong tower. All the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, yes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are just running.